Okay, so this talk is going to be on the prodigies of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and this is part four. So there's three other parts before this, and the whole reason for the divine will that Jesus gave to Louisa is so that we can begin to live a life that has not been seen for 6,000 years. It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary. This gift of the divine will is everything. When we start reading the Book of Heaven, what happens at that point is you begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So as we begin to read, we're going to enter deeper and deeper into this great gift. Okay, so we're going to start with volume 19, 6:15-26. And Louisa begins, "Jesus, my life, have pity on me. Look how full of defects I am and how much badness there is in me." So Louisa starts out where she knows she is. She has defects and she has human inadequacies, human failures. "And Jesus in all goodness told me, 'My daughter Louisa, do not fear. I am here watching over you and keeping your soul in custody so that not even the slightest sin may enter into your soul.'" So here God reveals his name first. I am. I am watching over you, keeping your soul in custody. So her soul is in the custody of Jesus, so that even the slightest sin may not enter into you. Again, this is something that the church is going to discover as they study Louisa Picaretta. What she possesses, we're going to also possess. What God has given to Louisa, God wants to give to us. So as you study the rounds, as you study the divine will, what happens is Jesus gets rid of your human imperfections, even the great sins that you may have had over your life, over the course of your life, begin to disappear. Oh, and this is what's so astonishing. Jesus says this: "Where you or others see defects and badness, I, God, find none. Rather, I, God, see that your nothingness," who she is, "feels the weight of the all," feels the weight of God. So what's so beautiful about this is Louisa always starts that she is nothing. She says, "I am nothing. God is everything." Now, a lot of us, when we pray, we say to the Lord, "I am terrible. You are great. I am awful. You are wonderful." And their focus is on us. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to focus on him. So he is everything. We are nothing. He is strong. We are weak. He is good and holy. We are sinners. So when we know this truth, God says, good. It's the same thing that Jesus said to, when Peter said to Jesus, "Get away from me, I am a sinner." As soon as Peter said that, Jesus said, good. This is the truth. And he says to Peter, "Now I can work with you. Now I will make you fishers of men." So here, the same thing. When we recognize our sinfulness, that's why going to confession is so important. We have to make confession part of our Catholic life. And confession is a healing sacrament. God wants to heal us. God wants to make us whole. God wants to make us happy. So confession is a great gift that God has given to us. So Jesus says, "Where everybody sees defects, I see that your nothing feels the weight of God." And in fact, the more, Jesus says, "I elevate you, Louisa, intimately to me, and I make you, Louisa, know all what the all of God wants to do with the nothing, the more you feel your nothingness and almost frightened and crushed under the weight of the all of God, you would want to escape from manifesting and from even more from writing on paper that which the all God, all-powerful God, wants to make of this nothing of yours, Louisa." So Jesus is saying to us that as we read this in our nothingness, God is manifesting more truths to us. See, Adam When God breathed into Adam, God breathed, expanded Adam's capacity to be in God's image and likeness. When Adam sinned, he lost the image and likeness of God. Okay? So through holy baptism in the Catholic Church, we receive the image of God. Now Jesus wants us to have the likeness of God. So what he does is when you read the volumes, little by little as you read, Jesus breathes into you. And he expands your capacity. Now, this is the book of heaven. And the book of heaven is the language of heaven. Okay? And with any language, you have to learn it. You have to become fluent with a new language. So a lot of people, when they first read Luisa, they go, I don't understand this. And they put it away. And Jesus says, I'm looking for souls that want to know these truths, that want to understand these manifestations that I've given to you, Luisa. So as we read these truths, God is expanding us, not in the one breath that he breathed into Adam, but little puffs of breath. Every truth that we read expands our capacity so that we are more in the image and likeness of God. So he says this. More so since as much reluctance as you feel, I always win. And I, God, make you do what I, God, want. So here we have Luisa doing what God does. Okay? That's the likeness. Now, a friend of mine, when he was, his father left Ireland when he was 19 years old. He came to the United States, he had a family, and his son went into the seminary. And his son said to his dad, let's go back to Ireland. You haven't been there in a long time. Let's go back. So they went back to Ireland. And that morning he was walking to church and somebody saw him walking down the street, a guy on a porch. And he says, you're a Murphy. And my friend says, yes. He says, how do you know I'm a Murphy? And he says, because you walk like your father. Okay, so here we're going to be like God. Jesus says you'll do far greater things than I. And how can we do far greater things than God? Okay. In God's image and likeness, we're going to be doing things that God wants us to do. And that's why when you read the life of Luisa, you're astonished. Here she did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. Yet she was filled with life, filled with love. And the reason is that she had the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. The power that will come from this little newborn, as Jesus calls her, is going to astonish you. I forgot to bring the relic cards. I'll go back and get them. The relic cards of Luisa are very, very powerful. There was one miracle for John Paul II, for his being beatified. There was one miracle for John Paul II for being canonized. Luisa, you're going to see miracle upon miracle upon miracle happen with Luisa. And the reason is our God wants us to know this little newborn. Our God wants us to begin to understand who this newborn is. So the more that we focus on this little newborn. Does anybody have a tissue? Does anybody have a tissue? A napkin? A sleeve? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Sorry, I apologize. All righty. Okay. So Jesus says, he says, with you, Luisa, in your reluctance, knowing your sinfulness, thank you so much. He says, I, God, always win. I, God, make you, Luisa, do what I, God, want. Now, we love Jesus. We love Mary. We want to get closer to Jesus. We want to get closer to the Blessed Mother. The one who's going to lead us there is Luisa. This is what's going to astonish you. The more that you read the divine will, the more you fall in love with Jesus. The more you fall in love with Mary. So he says this. Now he says to Luisa, this was what happened also to my celestial mama Mary. When Our Lady was told, hail you, full of grace, you will conceive the Son of God. On hearing this, Mary was frightened. She trembled. And she said, how can this happen? See, Our Lady said, I want to please God, but I don't know man. How can this be? Okay? But she ended up saying, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Not my will, but your will be done. And she felt all the weight of the all-powerful God over her nothingness, and naturally she was frightened. So when I, Jesus, manifest to you, Louisa, what I, God, want to do with you, Louisa, and your nothingness frightened, see, I, God, see the fright of the Sovereign Virgin Mary being repeated in you, Louisa, compassionating you, Louisa. So therefore, I, God, lift your nothing. I, God, strengthen your nothingness, that it may endure, sustaining the weight of the all-powerful God. So God is going to, see, this is what's so beautiful about Louisa. Jesus calls her the newborn. Jesus calls her the firstborn. She has the life that Adam lost. Now, the life that Adam lost was the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. This magnificent life that God breathed into Adam was lost. And now what God wants to do is he wants to give this life that Adam lost back to man. But first he had to redeem mankind. So the Son of God came to earth. The Mother of God came to earth. Jesus redeemed. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. Mankind was redeemed. Jesus says he was taken from the well that he fell in, bloody and, you know, broken. He redeemed mankind, took mankind up. And for the last 2,000 years, Jesus has slowly been healing us with the saints. We look at the lives of the saints, how beautiful, how holy, how saintly they are, how good they are. Yet it was done on a human sanctity. Jesus says, now is the time, now is the fullness of time, where he's going to bring about a divine sanctity. See, now this is why the church has said there's going to be a new evangelization. It's not the old evangelization renewed. What God is going to do is he's bringing about a new evangelization, which is this gift of the divine will. What's coming to the earth is so beautiful, it's so holy, it's so perfect, that we are going to be in ecstasy. As a matter of fact, the fire that's coming, Jesus says the first purification was of the flood, washing the world clean. The second purification is when Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he washed us clean with his precious blood. And now the third purification is coming. And the third purification is fire from heaven. It's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire is going to come upon the earth. It's going to be good for some, Our Lady said, but bad for most. Well, how can it be good and bad at the same time? Well, if we are in love with Jesus, if we are in love with Mary, if we're being faithful to the church, obedient to the church, it will be ecstasy for us. Those that hate Jesus, hate Mary, those that hate the church, it will be wailing and grinding of teeth. See, this fire has to come to purify us. But it is the fire of God's love through the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth. And Jesus says that the survivors will be living in the divine will. He says when the chastisement comes, and it's going to come, it will have little or no effect upon the souls who want to live in the divine will. So it's going to have little or no effect upon us. Why? Because we say to God, fiat. It's always fiat. We echo Jesus' fiat to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. We echo Mary's fiat to the Father. I am the humble maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. Fiat mihi. We've learned to say fiat. And now with Louisa, it's the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom come and reign in me on earth as the saints possess you in heaven. See, we're calling fire from heaven to earth. We're calling the kingdom of God on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. So what is coming is so beautiful. What's coming is so magnificent that we are not afraid. Everybody's going to be trembling who's away from God. We're going to be saying fiat. Now, the sign of the times for mankind, the majority of mankind, is going to be earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues. God's going to shake the earth. He's got to wake everybody up. But for the children of the divine will, the sign of the times for us is Luisa Picaretta and the great gift of the divine will. This is so beautiful, is that as you enter into this gift, as you really begin to enter heaven on earth, that's why when you read the writings, you are in heaven while on earth. I can always tell the souls who are not reading. They're worried, they're fearful, they're anxious, they're complaining, they're negative. But if you are reading what Jesus taught Luisa, you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Nothing can bother you, even suffering. In the divine will, we say to Jesus, you have been on the cross long enough. Let me take just a speck away from your suffering. See, we don't suffer much. Jesus did all the suffering. But in the divine will, we say to Jesus, come down from the cross so I can take your place, even if it's for an instant. And why? Because we love Jesus. We want Jesus to have some relief. You know, that's why, again, going back to confession, we have to know our sinfulness. We have to know our human inadequacies. And we have to be sorry for them. That's what Luis is showing us. Sorry for our sorrow for our sins, so that He, the Lord, can reign in us. And He's going to reign. That's why we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come breathe in my breathing. Lord Jesus, come beat in my heart beating. Lord Jesus, come walk in my walking. Jesus says, I want to reign in you as Lord and Savior and Master and King. He says, I want you to be my skin, so that when you walk, I am walking. When you talk, I am talking. See, the Lord wants to be Lord of our lives. I mean, that's why he breathed into dirt. He breathed into this dust so that this dust, this creature, human, is in God's image and likeness. There were no other gods around. And God is so in love with who He is that He wanted to share His divinity. So at Holy Mass, the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice. And the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. It's not oil and water. It's not separated. But that drop of water hits that cup filled with wine. We are that drop of nothing. Entering into that cup of wine, it fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. It doesn't separate. And see, that's what God is going to do. He wants us to share in His divinity. Our Lord is so in love with us. And yet, He says, I can find no one that will give their fiat. So, you know, if you think about it, how many people live in the Atlanta area? How many people live in this area? And the only ones that want to hear of this great gift of the divine will is, it's very few. So, what God loves, He keeps hidden, He keeps secret. Bethlehem, there was a few wise men, a few shepherds. That's it. The Last Supper, there was 12 men. At His resurrection, nobody was there. When He ascended into heaven, there was 120 people there. What God loves, He keeps hidden. For example, the greatest secret on earth, even to Catholics, is Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and yet the churches are empty. Another secret is the scapular. The clothing of heaven Our Lady has given us, and very few wear the clothing of heaven. The rosary, the most powerful prayer next to the Holy Mass, and yet very few families pray it together. See, it's this. See, what God loves, He keeps secret. Do you know why? Because if He lets everybody know, and they say no, they are lost. He wants us to have His treasures. He wants us to fill us with divinity. He wants us to share in His. He wants us to share in us to share in His nature. So He says this. Okay. I forgot where I left off. Okay. Okay. Do you know where I was? Anyway, I have any idea. Okay.
Scatter secrets, keeps secrets.
Okay. So I manifest to you what I want to do with you, and you're nothing. It was and your nothing is frightened. I see the fright of the sovereign queen being repeated and compassionate. So I lift you up to your nothing. I strengthen it that it may endure, sustaining the all. Therefore, do not be concerned about your nothingness. You're about this. But rather, think of letting God operate in you. See, our God wants to reign in us. Our God wants to breathe in our breathing. I hear bells. Think about this. When you say, Jesus, Jesus, come breathe in my breathing, and you take a deep breath, that's not you anymore. See, Jesus takes us at our word. Jesus will be breathing in our breathing. You know, when we say, Jesus, come beat in my heart beating, and you hear your heart beating, you can say, that's Jesus now. He's taken me at my word. His heart is beating and my heart beating. Do you see how the Lord wants to be Lord of every aspect of your life? And after this, I was making my usual acts of the supreme volition, embracing everything and everybody, everyone. So again, what the Holy Church teaches is when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. Okay, so you're not there just for your family. You're not there just for your friends. You represent everyone that's ever lived. Okay? This is what the divine will is. As you enter into the divine will, I'm not praying for me. I'm not praying for my family. I'm not praying for my friends. I'm praying for everyone from the first man to the last man. I'm praying that everyone receives this gift. When we pray in the name of everyone and everything, and say to Jesus, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you, I glorify you. For every heartbeat, for every breath, for every step of any human ever, this is an explosion of I love yous going to the throne of God. See, God doesn't need many. He wants everybody. But he says it's really for those who want this gift of the divine will. So we're praying in the name of everyone and everything, bringing to the throne of God all the I love yous of every person ever, every step of every person ever, for every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every leaf on a tree. We're saying to God, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. See, our job is to bring this explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. And what happens, the consequences of that, is the devil flees. See, we're bringing heaven to earth. The devil has been banished from heaven. When we are saying, come divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Come divine will, come beat in my heart beating. In the name of everyone and everything, God hears every human being speak this I love you with our voice. See, this is an explosion of I love you. The devil has to flee. See, the devil knows his time is coming to an end. And this is why for everybody else, it's going to be terror. Earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues. I mean, it's going to be awful. Because God's going to shake the earth and get everybody ready. But for us, it's to know the peace, the joy, the happiness of this great gift of the divine will that was given to Louisa. So when everything's falling apart and our family and our friends and our neighbors are screaming, what's going on? We're just going to be saying, Fiat. God's in charge. God's getting us ready for the kingdom. See, it's total docility, total submission, total surrender to God. These are three words that are hated today. Nobody wants to surrender to God. You know, no, even holy people, they don't want to surrender to God. They go, I want to do this, I want to do that. Now, what Jesus said to St. Faustina in the 30s was, he says, I'm giving the final devotion to my church before I return. The final devotion given to the church before Jesus comes back is divine mercy. Now, the Holy Father, John Paul II, has given us that since the year 2000. We're 15 years into this, where the whole church is celebrating divine mercy. Why? Why did the Holy Father keep on saying, get ready for the third millennium? Get ready for the glory of the church of the springtime of mankind? It's because he believed what Jesus said to St. Faustina. Jesus is returning. Look at Father Gobi, what Our Lady said to Father Gobi. Look at Medjugorje. Look at Garabdel. Look at here. Everything's getting ready for the return of Jesus. Jesus is returning in glory. The devil is going to be thrown out. The kingdom is going to be established. So what the Lord has to do is he has to wake everybody up. And for those that do not want to listen to Jesus, they're going to be trembling in their boots. For those that want to listen to Jesus, they'll be reading the book of heaven. And as you read the book of heaven, you become filled with peace, joy, and happiness. You become filled with heaven. So this is what Jesus says. He says, embracing everyone and everything to be able to bring to God all the acts of everyone with one single act, as one single act of I love you. To see, we're supposed to fall in love with God. God isn't supposed to be 1,000 miles away. We're supposed to be one with God, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, glorifying him, worshiping him. That's why we were created. We were not created on earth to, you know, have a nice profession or, you know, have a nice family. I mean, God is generous, but he wants to be loved. He breathed into dirt so the dirt, Adam, would say, I love you, back to God, with God's I love you, not with a human I love you. So Jesus is now wants to bring this divine I love you back to us. We are living at a time of that's so amazing. You look at Moses. You look at Moses, King David, all the men of the Old Testament, all the good women of the Old Testament. None of them were ever baptized. None of them were ever ontologically changed. None of them ever received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. None of them ever received the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Why? Were they bad? No, it wasn't time. So then you have the saints. And now the saints did not receive this gift of the divine will. They did the will of God, but they did not live in the will of God. Why? Were they bad? No, it wasn't time. Father Bucci says, now is the time because of Louisa. Louisa is for us. God is expecting great things from us, more than all the saints combined. Whatever the saints have done, Jesus says, I want you, us, to do more. How can we do more than the saints? Well, Jesus promises us, you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? Well, that's why he's teaching us this language of heaven. And as you read the volumes, as you study the book of heaven, what the Lord begins to do is the Lord begins to transform us. He says to Louisa, it goes beyond transformation. He says, I want to transmute you. What does that mean? It's the inside and the outside of an element changing into a completely different element. You know, right now this body is food for worms. We get old, we get gray-haired, we get wrinkled, and we die. That was never part of God's plan. But when Adam sinned, Adam had to leave eternity, leave the Garden of Eden, and come to earth and be trapped in time and space. This is where we are. We're trapped in time and space. What Jesus teaches Louisa is how to live in eternity. How to begin to live with Jesus. See, bilocation is part of the divine will. Jesus talks about this to Louisa quite often. And he says that he wants us to hold him in Bethlehem. See, God is so beautiful. He's so little. He's so innocent that he wants to be held. So he asks us to be with him at Bethlehem. He asks us to be with him at Nazareth. He asks us to be with him at Golgotha. And there's a bell every time I say something. So he wants us to be on Golgotha. He wants us to see. He says this. He says, look at me. See, we have to see Jesus crucified and What Mel Gibson gave us, the Passion of the Christ, is so important. We have to see Jesus crucified. We have to look at him. That's the glory of God, Christ crucified. He wanted this so much that he wanted his mother there to watch him die. What man would want his mother to watch him die? A horrible death. See, it's when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's to look at Jesus, not to sit down there and read your prayers or pray your prayers. It's to look at Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the monstrance, and adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and glorify him, to truly worship him. Our job is to fall in love with God. Not just to read our prayers, look at our watch, well, I've got 5 more minutes and then I can leave. We are to be with Jesus to fall in love with him. How can we receive this grace? Well, this is what we get when we read Louisa. As you read the divine will, as you enter into this gift, you begin to fall in love with Jesus more than you ever fell in love with Jesus before. You begin to fall in love with the Blessed Mother more than you ever have before. Why? Because now is the time to do this. See, Jesus says, I'm with you to the end of time. And people say, well, that's a billion years from now. No. We are called to live in eternity. All the animals in paradise are still alive. We're the only ones that are not there. Because if we go back to eternity, in this state, we will age forever. Can you imagine what we'd look like in a 300 years from now? It would just be a pile of goo. See, we're here in order to begin to live in this divine will so that God can give back to us eternity. That's where we're supposed to be living, in eternity. So he's asking us to begin to learn how to live with these, as he says to Louisa, with these manifestations that I'm giving to you, with these truths I'm giving to you. You know, I can't wait until the Holy Church begins to enter into this gift fully. It's going to be astonishing. See, everyone will be Catholic. Everybody will have to be Catholic. See, the universal life that Adam possessed was the Catholic life. And when Adam left paradise, he left the universal life. What did Jesus do? 4,000 years later, Jesus comes to earth to start the universal life again, the Catholic life again. And that's why in volume 24, the last chapter of volume 24, Jesus says to Louisa that the Jews will be converted, and then everybody else, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, everyone will become Catholic. The Catholic life, the universal life, is the life that God breathed into Adam. And God wants to breathe this life again into all of us. That's why it's so important to be faithful and obedient Catholics. You know, to really go to confession, make confession part of our Catholic life again. To pray the rosary, to wear the scapular, to attend Holy Mass, to pray the Holy Prayers, to spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord. See, this is the Catholic life that God wants us to have. To keep holy the Sabbath. To give back to God Sunday. It's not a day for sports. See, once Louisa was born in 1865, again, this year is the 150th anniversary of her birth, the devil gave us football, soccer, hockey, tennis, golf, you name it. The sports came into existence. Why? The devil wanted us to have other gods. Now, there's nothing wrong with sports. But when are sports played? On Sunday. Where are the children? They're practicing their sports on Sunday. We have to get back to keeping holy the Sabbath. You know, the other thing too is Jesus, Our Lady at La Salette said that there will be a black tabernacle in everybody's house that they will adore, spend hours in front of. And that's the television. You know, it's not supposed to be part of our life. That's why Our Lady said to Father Gobi, don't watch TV. Our Lady said to the children and the apparitions, do not watch TV. See, we're being trained by the occult to live their life. You know, if you go to church maybe once a week, you have maybe a 10-minute homily. Yet people are home watching 5 to 6 hours a day of stuff that is not of God. So we have to begin to live a Catholic life. We have to really begin to keep holy the Sabbath. It's not a day for entertainment. It's not another Saturday. It's not a day for sports. It's the Lord's Day. I mean, if you read the Ten Commandments, there is a paragraph after keep holy the Lord's Day. Everything else is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But for keeping holy, it's a paragraph. Why? If you keep holy the Sabbath, all the other commandments become easy. But if you don't keep holy the Sabbath, basically you're on your own. So what Jesus is doing is he's getting us ready so that everyone will have this universal life, will have this Catholic life. So Jesus says, okay, while I was doing this, this is Louisa, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior. This is a secret. Where is Jesus? He's always found in the interior of Louisa. If you go to Louisa, if you link yourself with Louisa, Jesus will also begin to reign in you in a way that the saints would envy if they could. God is going to do things that are going to astonish you. Again, you have to learn this language of heaven. And if you present this to a priest or to a bishop who has not read Louisa, they will say, well, this sounds strange. I don't know about that. Maybe you should stay away from that. And, okay, you've got to obey. So you obey and you'll never read the volumes. You have to find somebody who has read Louisa, who has studied Louisa. And as you enter into this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, which Louisa possesses, you begin to experience something that has not been experienced since, no wonder. Oh, no. Well, that's not working. Hello? Okay, let me see. I'm sorry to bother you. Okay. Oh, it's still working. God is so good. Okay. I lose my train of thought, and that's it. It's right out the window. I have no idea what I was saying. Okay. Okay. Jesus says, okay, in the interior. While Louisa was doing this, Jesus came out from within the interior of Louisa and embracing everything together with me. This is everyone and everything with Louisa. This is so astonishing. Uniting himself with me in doing what I was doing. So here, God, see, we have learned from the saints to know, love, and serve God. Okay, that's just what we've learned. Now Jesus wants us to know, love, and possess God. Okay, so Jesus will do what we are doing. We are going to begin to do what Jesus is doing. Okay, so when you say, come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing, and you take a breath, Jesus is actually breathing in your breathing. Okay, we're now going to be breathing as Jesus is breathing. See, it's a mutual possession. The reason for this mutual possession is God came to earth for a bride. He came to earth to have a bride. And he wants to marry us. You have to understand this. The whole thing of the divine will is Jesus is proposing to us. He wants to marry us individually as well as collectively. So what Jesus does, when a young man in Israel finds a girl that he wants to marry, he goes to the father, he makes the contract, he pours a glass of wine, he drinks the wine and sets it in front of his bride-to-be, and if she drinks it, she has accepted his proposal. And then he gets up and he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I'm going to take you with me, so that where I am, you will always be with me. And he goes to his father's house and he says to his father, I found a bride. And the father says, okay, we're going to build a wedding chamber. No one knows how to build a wedding chamber because it's a secret. Only the father knows because his father taught him. And what happens is they build it. And when it's complete, the man goes back for the wife, who's waiting for him with a lit candle. And the best man blows the trumpet and says, the bridegroom is coming. This is what Jesus says to us. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Accept my proposal. Now, the very first day that we have this gift of the divine will, the very first day, February 28, 1899, Jesus tells Louisa, to begin to live in the divine will, we must have the mystical marriage. Now, the mystical marriage is the greatest gift given to anyone. So you have St. John of the Cross with the mystical marriage, St. Teresa of Avila with the mystical marriage, St. Catherine of Siena, the mystical marriage. The great mystics of the church received the mystical marriage, and then they died. There was no place else to go. Jesus said to Louisa when she was 17, Louisa, I begin your spiritual life where all the other saints ended their spiritual life, with the mystical marriage. And then he says, for the souls who want to live in the divine will, they must possess the mystical marriage. We're not holy. We're not saints. We are no way mystics. Yet Jesus is saying to us, link yourself with Louisa and receive this mystical marriage. Receive my proposal. So what I say to people is, accept this proposal from Jesus. Go out and find a ring and wear it. You don't have to wear it on your fingers. You can wear it around your neck. But accept the proposal from Jesus, so that when you look at your ring, you could say, I am one with Jesus, as Jesus wants, and I can begin to live this gift of the divine will. Now, when you present that to your priest, he's going to go, what are you, out of your mind? What are you, also presumptuous to think that you can receive the mystical marriage? And it's, no, I can't receive it. But Louisa received it, and I want to link myself with Louisa. I want to be one with Louisa so I can begin to live this gift. Just think about it. What God wants to give to mankind is so astonishing that the saints would want to be here. That's why St. Teresa said she wanted to be alive at this point. So St. Teresa said, I want to live in the final days. You know, St. Louis de Montfort says, they'll be the greatest saints ever in the history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. See, what's coming? See, and we have been predestined by God to live at this time. I remember I was in Paris. I was sitting on a curb in 1975, and I was reading The Secret of Mary. And it said, O predestined soul. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. We are predestined to receive this gift. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't David. It wasn't St. Anthony. It wasn't St. Francis. It's us. Jesus says, I've saved the best for last. God wants to give us this gift. And all that he asks us to do is to read. So what the devil does, like I said before, is gives us sports, gives us television. When I was a boy, we had, what, 3 television programs? ABC, NBC, CBS. Now, what you have, 500? The devil doesn't want us to read. Now you have the internet. You have every book of every library at your disposal. Yet Jesus is asking us to put everything aside and to begin to read the book of heaven. He says it's the only book that will transform your soul. Now, there are some that say you can't read them. I've heard that. I don't know why you can't read them and I can read them. It doesn't make sense to me. Jesus says, if you have these books, this is what he tells Louisa, I myself have given them to you. The thing that is so magnificent is, I was talking to this group once in I was talking something about the divine will, and they said, we've been in it for 15 years and we've never heard this. I said, well, are you reading? Well, we're only allowed to read 3 volumes. And I went, well, no wonder you don't know anything. For 15 years, you've had an opportunity to read, to study, and to put into practice these truths. You know, the only thing the Archbishop asks is that you have a priest to help you, because there will be certain things that will be said that could be misunderstood. And some people are misunderstanding Louisa. So find a priest, and you can say to the priest, you know, here, I'm reading the Hours of the Passion for Lent. Would you help me? And if the priest says, yes, I'll help you, then he begins to read. See, this is the thing that's going to astonish you. This is the first bread. The third bread is your wonder bread, your daily bread. The second bread is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And Jesus says, as you eat this, he says, I want you to become like me. And he says, I've saved the best for last. Now, the first bread is the bread that Adam ate, the bread that Louisa lived on for 64 years. By doing the will of God, living in the will of God, this gift is so magnificent that as you begin to pray this, as you begin to live this, the Lord starts opening doors and you begin to understand sacred scripture like you've never understood it before. You're going to understand the dogma and doctrine of our faith as you never have before. And you're going to begin to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary, which the saints only dreamed of. I mean, nobody possesses this completely. So don't, when somebody says, I'm living in the divine will, they're fooling themselves. Nobody's living in the divine will. We want to live in the divine will. We want to study this. We want to put this into practice. But the fullness of the divine will, Jesus tells Louisa, will be given to the Pope first. You need a man and a woman. You have Adam and Eve. You have Jesus and Mary. You have Louisa and who? It's the man with the keys to the kingdom. And Jesus tells Louisa, Louisa, you must be the key. So when the Holy Father says, Louisa is blessed, and these writings are given to the world, watch what happens. It's a new beginning for mankind. Now our Lord is asking us, pleading with us, to allow him to reign in us in a way that the angels and the saints dream of. See, heaven isn't perfect. See, St. Thomas Aquinas says you need a body and a soul. In heaven, there's only 2 bodies, Jesus and Mary. Everybody else is spirits. When the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, this is when bodies and souls will become one again. You can't believe what God has planned. And as you read this, as you study this, and I've had people say, well, they've read. In fact, one person said, well, I've read volume 1, and I disagree with it. Well, volume 1 is painful. Volume 1 is very, very painful. God takes a soul and crushes it, like clay, to reform Louisa. So when you read volume 1, I tell everybody, read volume 11, 12, and 13, maybe even 14, and then go back to volume 1. Because once you read what Jesus is going to do, you're going to be so thrilled that Louisa allowed herself to be crushed to get to this point. See, there's 3 sections to the divine will. The first section is volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, how to become a saint. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit that was never taught to any of the saints. And volume 20 through volume 36 is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what's so amazing. It is so amazing. I was talking to a man. He retired and he said to me, well, Father, what should I do? I said, are you really serious? He says, yeah, what should I do? I said, are you really serious? I said, start reading Louisa. So he read 1 through 10 and he says, man, that was great. Then he went 1 through 19, 11 through 19 and he goes, I've never read anything as powerful. He's a daily communicant. He's very important in the church. And he went 1 through 19, and he goes, this is magnificent. Then he got into 20 through 36, and don't jump ahead. But once you start reading 20 to 36, he said he was in orbit. He says, I've lifted off the earth. He says, I'm going into the cosmos. I mean, he was spiritually, not in actuality. But he says, this is so beautiful. He says, why isn't this embraced? And the reason it's not embraced is because God wants us to do it first. Like the shepherds, like the wise men. It's not many at first. So as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, as we begin to live this life, it pleases God so much that then he starts to give it to everybody. So what we'll do is we'll end there, and we'll begin at 4 o'clock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.